Sorry, lady.
Blog Talk Radio.
We have got to find a different show opening song.
Why?
Because by the time that finishes playing, I am fully sweated out. My butt cheeks are sore from chair dancing. And when I'm really about to break it down, it cuts off to bring us on in the air. You know what? We got to find something different.
I know. You had your Harriet Tubman face on, didn't you?
You know I did. You know I did.
I had mine on, too. And you know that is my favorite thing this week.
Oh, that's your favorite thing this week?
That's my favorite thing this week. And it may be. I am quite certain it is my favorite internet comment ever. Because it just fits so perfectly. Because you know that face. You know, you want to call it the stink face. That face you're making when the music is just too good to you. Right? But Harriet Tubman's face sums it up nicely.
That is classic. Straight classic.
I don't think I laughed that hard in about 2 weeks. Maybe three.
That's what's really crazy besides you is that it was the perfect caption.
Yes, it summed it up perfectly because Granny was getting it. And she had her stank face on. And you knew when she put that stank face on, she was getting ready to fuck up some shit, which is exactly what she did. Yeah, best caption ever.
Yeah, and you know the grandchildren who witnessed that and now see it on Facebook or YouTube, or wherever else it is, ain't never going to be right again. They can't never unsee that. They can't live it down. Every time they look at it, they'll be like, you know what?
Right. And you know what? Ever since I have a crip walked across that porch, I've been done. Done. She wasn't in nowhere but South Central, crip walking on her porch. I'm good. Just put a fork in me, I'm done.
And
I promise you, I haven't laughed that hard in weeks. And you know I need it because I've been on the edge. I've been on the edge for a minute.
It's been on edge for? This has been beautiful. This is like the best best of 7 days ever in the history of this here country. This has been the bestest.
Yes. From our perspective and the perspective of this show, this has been the best of this week in a long, long time. But that combined with the last 2 weeks prior to that, the crazies are out. And I'm just getting worn down.
You can't let them get you. They just mad.
And you know what, though? But you know what? It's not that they're just mad. It's that they're stupid on top of it. That's what's getting me.
But that's what's so funny. Anybody that's mad is stupid. Not all stupid people are mad, but anybody that's mad is stupid.
Child, nobody knows the troubles I see. Nobody knows my sorrow.
Break it down.
Look, I had to, see, you know what? Every now and again on Facebook, I go to school, right? Or I take people to school.
You are the professor.
I had to explain to somebody, one of these good Christian folk, that, number one, the Democrats were not responsible for slavery.
Wow,
That slavery was here before Democrats. by a good 120 years.
Wow.
Right. And then I had to explain to somebody that one of the seven seals of the apocalypse is not tied to gay marriage and gay sex in church. Therefore,
wait a minute.
Confident that seal is still intact.
I just hope you explained to them that if they were correct, then the Vatican would have sunken into the bowels of Italy by now. Do we have to replay Liberace and the Pope with some friends of yours? Because they need to know.
No, I didn't go back that far. I was just like, then I guess you won't be seeing Creflo Dollar on your screen no more. That's all I'm saying on the matter.
And that would be a bad thing. Why not?
And at first, I thought he meant the Holy Land. He meant Holy Land. And so my first response was, you know, Jerusalem just had a gay pride parade, right? So I think that should be sealed. And then he was like, any Holy Land. It could be a church on a hill under a tree, a cemetery. I was like, again, that ship has sailed. Why don't you call your local cemetery groundskeeper and get the 411 on that? Child, please. But, on the other hand, we are glad that we've had to deal with these stupid people because of some landmark, excelente decisions over the last.
Unprecedented, oh my godness, going on.
Right. And you know what? The oh my godness for me wasn't that they upheld gay marriage as constitutional, because they had to. It never was a question of if, it was always when, right? I loved how Scalia imploded again.
Imploded and exploded and totally, basically lost his shit.
Right, on that and SCOTUS care.
The man said everything but skullduggery and buffoonery. I am flabbergasted and just totally flamas.
Right. He had some choice words. Didn't he even say bamboozled?
He didn't say bamboozle, but he did say he went hard, and then probably the most harsh language you will ever hear a Supreme Court justice say, he said it was some applesauce.
So here's what I wanted to happen. I wanted the decision to come down, and I wanted Scalia to sit up and flip the table and just be like, fucking, I quit. That's what I wanted to happen. You know what I am envisioning. You know that feeling when you are just done. That's what I want.
So you just have, he has to do the panda, flip the table, and walk away.
Right. He has to do the panda cheese, do clear off the table, knock over the computer, and flip over the table.
But you know, because it's the easiest, it's the best gig in the world for him. And you know
right.
what? Him just mad. He didn't get his way today. But that's okay.
But I worry because the conservative side, if you will, outranks the liberal side in terms of age, because Swing Vote Kennedy is getting up there. You know, Ruthie, she's hanging on, but I don't know how much longer Ruthie got in her.
True, but you know what? If she can't hold out for 18 months, she needs to go in 9. I ain't mad.
I ain't mad if she goes in 9. Right. Right, I hear you.
I ain't mad if any of them go in 9 or 12. They can go in 12. I don't care.
Well, you know, those bastards on the Hill will hold it up if she goes.
That's right.
Because Obama got stuff to do because, you know what, he is, didn't we say this last week? He is at his, you know what, young kiss my natural black ass stage of his presidency.
Yes, we did. But even at that stage, you have to appreciate the fact that he's bringing it in with a smile on his face and dusting off his shoulders, and he's crushing it. He's crushing it.
Right.
He's crushing
now
it.
Now what?
Oh, y'all. And here's the beautiful thing. Every one of his wins this past week, every one of them, I want to say his wins, every one of the decisions that came down this week, with the exception of the Affordable Care Act, were not Obama-initiated issues, right?
No,
the one
weren't.
That came down against right. them was the EPA. So that
right.
came down against him. That was a loss. But gay marriage, marriage equality, it wasn't him. Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
But you know what? I have to admit, I'm still a little pissy about the case that got thrown out over, you know, free speech. Still a little salty about that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I feel threatened by you. It's your intent. I don't know what your intent is. If you say you're going to come kick my ass, I'm going to believe that.
Yeah, but you know, the back end of that is they did not say you could not defend yourself. You could not accept a threat as credible in that situation. So I believe you can still use that as a self-defense case. Oh, he said it on social media. So when I saw him, I shot him to prevent him from hurting me. So it's left
right.
up to interpretation at the state level, I believe. You can check me on
okay.
that. I know a couple people I want to pop a cap in because they, I felt threatened by them. And they threatened me on social media.
And you know what? It could, the season couldn't have come at a more perfect time because we are in the midst of gay pride parades left and right, honey.
And didn't they, and aren't they prideful? They are real prideful. They are real prideful right about now.
Mm-hmm.
You know
they're
probably about.
Sunday, we had ours on Sunday, so that you know it was turned up.
There's probably about 75 to 80 people in the Vatican right now going, moving to America. Get my pinky ring.
And you know what? Look, people, I'm just so sick and tired of these conservatives being in a tizzy. This is nothing new for me. You know, you and I have had this discussion 1,000 times. I don't care what 2 consenting adults do behind closed doors as long as it don't hurt nobody. I'm
Hello.
Done.
Say that again.
I don't care. I do not care what 2 consenting adults do behind closed doors as long as it don't hurt nobody. Period.
Amen to that.
I have too much going on in my life to be uber concerned with somebody else's sex life because that's what it boils down to. I don't care if you feel that that person is committing a sin, that sin will send them to hell, then that's your business. It's wrong, but that's between that person and their God. You don't need to be concerned with it. You can just be like, oh, well, they're going to hell. Can I have some apple pie, please? Can you pass the beans? You don't need
okay,
to
get... So We're going to have to work on phrasing, but I get your point. You're not going to say gay sex is wrong. You're going to have some, can you pass the pie, please? We're just going to have to work on phrasing. But other than that.
Well, I said pass the pie and pass the beans.
Yeah, uh-huh. That don't really help.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, there's so much. I just wish people would put 1/10 of the energy that they put into, you know, getting all frappy at the mouth about gay marriage on ending poverty. You know?
This is the real conundrum, right? Because the reality is, no matter where you come down on gay marriage, marriage equality, any of that, the reality of the situation is what, as you said, what 2 people do to show their love for each other, as long as it does not harm children, harm the environment, country, nobody else's business. Nobody else's business. If you and the crazy thing
and
about
you know what, it don't even have to be behind closed doors. If you are married, it's a same sex marriage, and you guys want to hold hands while you walking down the street, go right ahead. If you want to kiss, what, go right ahead. It's none of my business. I don't care. And quite frankly, you know what? I do care. I care on the positive side. I look at that and I'm like, thank God for love.
Right. But, you know, the serious tip about it is the blatant hypocrisy of their indignation is what is really the thing
right.
that needs to be looked at. Because they
right.
can stand up there
me.
And pass judgment on 2 people who want to have a committed lifelong relationship, though they got about a 50-50 chance just like everybody else, right? The fact that they want to have a lifelong commitment.
But you know what? I mean, that's just it. You hit it right there on the nail on the head. They can't choose what they deem to call a sin and what they deem to call not a sin. Because half those people or maybe all those people who are calling it a sin probably had bacon for breakfast yesterday in their polyester pants while thinking about eating some shrimp for dinner wearing makeup. If you're going to call it a sin, you need to buy everything that's a sin.
Right, and that was one of the educational points I had to post to someone on Facebook myself the other day when they said, you know, the Bible's good enough, and I said, then you should not, then anybody that masturbates should go to hell. Any woman who dresses as a man and therefore wears pants is going to hell. But the hypocrisy of it in that.
Well, and ain't no 55-year-old man or whatever is a virgin who's never had no alcohol.
Right, and you can't marry. You can only marry a woman if she's a virgin, not if she's divorced or widowed, and you know, and it goes on. But the thing that, you know, for them to complain, and it's crazy, is you're talking about people who have now totally lost their minds, right? They've totally lost their minds about the Supreme Court decision and how this is wrong, and the invasion of, not the invasion, the court's intrusion upon the Constitution is what some of them have said. You've got people like Mike Huckabee now all against the Supreme Court, right? It's a bunch of knuckleheads. Scalia himself and Alito themselves called the Supreme Court not the entity that should be deciding things like this and their dissenting decisions. The dissenting arguments. This is what's so crazy. When they win, they can do whatever they want. When Scalia and Alito won on corporations or people, this should all be judged by the Supreme Court. When they lose on gay marriage and Obamacare, then Supreme Court is intruding on what the voters want. So, okay, let me tell you what the voters want. In all but 14 states, voters have overwhelmingly said gay marriage is not a big issue and they're okay. Millions upon millions of Americans have voted for and are using Obamacare /, that is the Affordable Care Act. The voters, the people want it. They're using it. It is successful. You can't say you are changing what the voters want. Okay? When you are giving the voters exactly what they want. Exactly what they want. So it's funny to me. It is straight up funny to me that you have these knuckleheads who who have decided, oh, now we set a precedent and we are the Supreme Court. We are the judge. We are the judicial branch of the United States when we want to have our way. But we're fallible and should not be the final say so when we lose. What in the entire hell? Where does that come from? Out of what mindset does that come from? Other than if I can't play my way, I'm taking my toys and going home. It's crazy. Who filed briefs to the Supreme Court to begin with on Obamacare? They just knew. They just knew they were going to win this. They just knew over a freaking word, over the interpretation of a word. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the smartest.
I think it was three words.
Well,
it was four. It was actually four words, but I don't remember what the four were.
Yeah, but the two key words are the state, right? These benefits have to be provided by the state, not each individual state, which was never the intent. It never even said. It never says each individual state. It says the state. And I'll be completely honest with you. When I read it, I assumed the state meant the government. So when you read other things in the Constitution that clearly states or calls the government the state, and they themselves cite that phrase when they talk about their right to own and bear weapons. You know, the state shall form a militia and all this other bullcrap that they falsely espouse. They now want to say, oh, well, that's not what it, you know, we thought that meant each individual state, and that's, you know, that's wrong. Hey, come on. Let's inject some common sense in this equation and come up with the reality. And the reality is the statement, the state, the United States, the government. So now you got, like I said, you have all these people who are dead set against the Supreme Court being a judicial deciding branch of government when it comes to any issue that falls against what they want it to fall against. You know, you got to eat a big bag of dirt on this one because you were wrong. Your duly elected idiots in Congress tried, what was it, 50, what's the last count, 52 times to repeal Obamacare? To take away from people what people want, what people are using successfully. Last I checked, the sky didn't fall.
And idiots like Cruz still say, well, if I'm elected, I'm going to repeal it.
You're not.
After the Supreme Court decision, I'm like, idiot, it's done. It's done.
So, and this is the funny thing, right? So when you say stuff like that, you are telling people you don't want to be elected because the majority of the people in this country want it. So you're telling people who have voted, who have it, who enjoy it, who are using it, the majority, and it's more than a 52 to 48% majority that are benefiting from Obamacare. You're telling them you're going to repeal it. So vote for me so I can take away your benefits. You want to talk about people being stupid? Come on now.
Yeah, well, but you also know that there's plenty of idiots out there that vote against their best interests. So.
Yes, they do. That would be the entire Tea Party and Republican Party to a large extent. And speaking of which, you know, to segue off a little bit and to get into the next issue in this block, you now have 14 of these people who think they can become president. And of the 14, and we all know who the loudest one is, but of the 14, I think only three I've heard so far have not espoused divisive non-helpful rhetoric in their campaigns. So I want to become president so I can turn the country against itself. I can repeal legislation that's helping millions of Americans, and I can stand on the mountain and point down to countries that I feel are beneath me and say, you suck, we don't want to deal with you anymore until you bend to our will.
And you want to know the scary thing? Of those candidates, the only one who is making any attempt to be moderate is Rand Paul.
Rand Paul and Carly Fiorina.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I haven't heard much from her because she's not getting any play because she's at 2%.
Exactly. And that's the exact point. That's the exact point. Because she's not saying crazy shit, she's not getting any airplay. And trust me, I got no love for this woman. Zero love for this woman. But she and Rand Paul, and you know, but you and I both know Rand Paul will change with the wind, you know. But she and Rand Paul are probably the most conciliatory, let's bring the country back together. And now that Krispy Kreme is in it, that's how he's starting his campaign as well.
Did you scream during his speech when he said we need to get, you know, the Congress isn't working with the president and the president isn't working for Congress? You know, we need to get, you know, some agreement in here. We need to work to get along. This is the same man who is always telling somebody to shut up and sit down.
Right.
I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Does
you're
he hear himself? How's that
said,
working with anybody?
He told Matt Lauer today that he's grown and he's evolved, and that's who he used to be. That's not who he'll be in the future. And of course, telling this to Matt Lauer, who got rid of what's her name off of today's
Ann Curry.
Today, yeah,
Ann
Curry off of today's show. It's like, you know, spitting into the wind and daring the spit to hit you back in the face. So,
it evolved since last month?
Yes, it's been a month. I can evolve in a month. But I can't say I evolved because that says I believe in evolution. And I can't believe in evolution and run for president of the United States as a Republican. We don't play that here. That's not what we do. Right, so it's just funny, but now you've got 14. Now you've got 14, and we've yet to hear from.
Are there any more? Any more we're waiting on?
You got Scott Walker, who's going to announce.
Damn.
And I've heard the name Bob Ehrlich. Now, outside of Maryland, no one knows Bob Ehrlich. Just like even, it's funny and insane to me. Bob Ehrlich was governor of Maryland for one term. He was Republican governor of Maryland for one term. And his policies and his way of governing was so bad that he swept into the governor's mansion in Maryland and he was swept right out. And then after that first term of Bob O'Malley, Martin O'Malley, Ehrlich ran again against O'Malley and was trounced again by O'Malley. And O'Malley sucked. O'Malley was a horrible governor in the state of Maryland. So, yeah, it's just a culture of failing up to become president or run for president as a Republican these days. I don't know how else to put it, but I will tell you, if not for Bob Ehrlich, no one would know who Michael Steele was. Michael Steele was Bob Ehrlich's lieutenant governor.
Oh, okay. I remember Steele as lieutenant governor, but I didn't remember who the governor was.
Yep, because why? It was forgettable. Why are you trying? No one knows, no one cares. So that's two more. That's two more who want to come in. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a couple more who are out there thinking.
Well, why not? Because clearly the bar is low.
Very, very low.
This reminds me of the California gubernatorial race that had Gary Coleman and a porn star.
Yeah, the write-in,
Right. Anybody who had like the $50 filing fee ran.
And sadly, you had more viable candidates than you do now with the Republicans. It's crazy, man. It's thoroughly crazy, but I love it. I love it because now we'll get to see, you get to see them crash and burn.
We get to see them crash and burn, but I'm still a little saucy about people bastardizing the process. I'm talking to you, Donald Trump.
Well, let's before we talk about the Donald, because we have to dedicate time to the Donald, can we please, just for a second, talk about the sweetest news of last week of all, that Family Values, America's darling, Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol Palin, done found herself knocked up again. Can we just spend 10 seconds? You know I did the math.
So I read that they met in January, or they started dating in January, right?
Dating translates to fucking, okay? Let's just put it out there.
Right. I was getting there. And they got engaged in March. And the wedding was supposed to happen in May. Now, some people are just in love and can't wait. Believe that to be the case. Because she announces her pregnancy in June. What I suspect is she found out in March she was pregnant. So they hurry up and got engaged. And they wanted to get a wedding off the ground before she started to show. And, you know, most people don't announce their pregnancy until they're about 3 months in. And she's announcing in June. So I suspect that she got pregnant in March and has just been sitting on the information. And since she's safely in her first trimester, that's when she decided, oh, guess what? I'm pregnant. Miss Abstinence herself. And, you know, consenting adults again, you know, if you want to be getting it in right after you start dating, that's your business. I don't care. But again, I do care when you are telling our nation's teenagers that abstinence is the correct course. I care when you say that abstinence is the correct course and you have not learned your lesson and you are unwed and pregnant for the second time. So now you got two baby daddies.
Right.
And I took it a little further. You know, she's only...
Yeah, go ahead. Do it. I know where you're going. Do it.
Right. She's only 24. That is plenty enough time to find Mr. Right. Young enough to get married and have some more babies. And then she will be having three baby daddies. Now, let's just say her name isn't Bristol Palin. Let's say it's Malia Obama.
What? What?
Child, please. Right? Can you imagine what they would do to those poor Obama girls if they got knocked up? But I tell you what, Malia ain't going to come home pregnant at 18 because Malia has been raised well. Actually 17, because Bristol was 17 when she got pregnant, 18 when she had the baby.
And I've noticed the
conservatives haven't been talking about it.
No, because they don't want to talk about it. They're like, oh, shit, this bitch again. Here's the reality. Family values crap went out the window. when Sarah couldn't, Bristol couldn't hide the baby when she got up on the podium. And they came out and said it, and the entire McClain, entire McCain campaign staff shoved their heads deeply in their coats and went, holy crap, have we screwed the peach? And they changed the narrative, right? It's, oh, she's decided to have the baby. That's a great American story, and the family supports and blah, da, yada, 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 yada. And that's what they went with, knowing damn well, as we said before on this airspace, and we've said all over the place, if the Obamas had an 17-year-old daughter who was knocked up, he would have never even gotten a nomination. He wouldn't have been up on the podium. He wouldn't have been able to parade his daughter and his soon-to-be grandchild up on stage. He would not have been able to kidnap the father and hold him hostage and say, you're going to marry this girl after I become president or vice president. It would have never gone down like that, right? Let's be real. It would have never gotten that far.
And you know, the stupidity of Bristol Palin. I mean, besides the fact that abstinence does not work, which she proved herself, if that is how she makes her living, if she gets paid to tell people to abstain and she knows that behind closed doors she can't, man, that's my money. I would have had that shit wrapped up. I would have been on the Depronova. I would have been popping pills left and right. Wasn't nothing growing in this game until I was damn ready. Period.
I guarantee
point blank.
Popping pills and drinking is probably why she got knocked up again, because clearly that was how she got knocked up the first time. So let's give it what it is. She's a hoe. She's a hoe. And it's okay to be a hoe. A lot of our good friends are hoes. But you can't be a hoe telling people you can't be a hoe when you a hoe.
Flag on the play. We can't call the girl a hoe because she's we can't. We can't call her a hoe. We can call her a hypocrite.
No. We can call her a hoe because Levi said she was a hoe. All the dudes who were riding her like a snow machine called her a hoe. I'm not calling her a hoe. It's everybody in Alaska knows she a hoe.
I'm not privy to that information. But I'm not gonna debase her like that just because, to my knowledge, you know, she's just had sex with a couple guys and by age 24 and has gotten pregnant. I'm not gonna call her a hoe for that.
I'm not gonna call her a hoe for that. But I am going to call her a hoe because that's what Levi said she was after he got away from the whole thing and was able to break free. He said everybody knew she was good to go. He got her drunk. They weren't really boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, I don't recall that story, but I'm still not going to call her a hoe, you know. Women get to own their sexuality. Just be careful about it.
Right.
Because
I guarantee you,
if her name was Levi and not Bristol and had a bunch of partners, wouldn't nobody be calling Bristol dude a hoe?
I would. If he was going to have his second child by a different woman and his mama was on television espousing family values, and, you know, when they get back home, they fighting people at parties, and it's going down wrong, and everybody knows the party house is the Palin house, and he's a dude, he too is a hoe. And I have no problem giving him my Velvet Jones copy of You Too Can Be a Hoe. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. Now, understandable as a woman, it's a sensitive subject. I get that. I really do get that. But also get the fact that her behavior when she got pregnant the first time was masked so that her mama could run for vice president. And after her mama lost vice presidency, she went crazy again. And they're still crazy. They're just out there in the woods in Alaska being just knuckleheads. Just like a lot of the Kennedy children. Just like, you know, a lot of teenagers are. But to me, the problem is she's espousing, you know, this holier-than-thou demeanor and persona. And reality is they out there getting it.
And again, I'm okay with that. I mean, she's a grown woman. She can do what she wants to do.
Yeah, 24.
But if your bread and butter is, you know, don't do it, then make sure you don't get caught doing it. If you're going to be a hypocrite, be a smart hypocrite. I'm still not going to call her a hoe, though. That was Levi just with some sour grapes, for all I know. I know plenty of girls that got dragged and called all kinds of names because their ex was pissed off at them and it was not the truth whatsoever.
That's true. But there are a lot of people who said her mom wasn't an idiot either. And it did take 7 colleges to get her bachelor's degree. So I'm being a little harsh, but I'm basing it on family history. I guilty. I'll take that hit. I'll call myself wrong if I prove to be wrong. So let's, you know, we cannot forget the Trump. We can't forget the Trump. But before we finish with the Trump, let's finish with the Trump because the Trump will run us long with the last 10 minutes.
So he filed a lawsuit against Univision today for $500 million. Who didn't see that coming?
I can't with him.
I know. And so here's what I don't understand. So you and I talked about it, and I said 2 weeks ago, dump Trump. And I wanted every single person who works in his organization, his hotels, to walk out. That didn't happen. But instead, Univision did the right thing and was like, you know what? Fuck you. We're not showing your shit. Now, bye, Felicia. And then NBC turned right around and was like, yeah, you're fired.
Exactly. Because what's
and
the bottom line?
You can't say shit like that and not expect some repercussions. And I think the repercussions started at home because his kids ain't got nothing but that TV show, and he just took that right from them.
Well, they can live off of his money. They can live off of his money. But, you know, at the bottom line, we as African Americans in this country, we ain't the top dog on the bottom rail anymore. The Hispanic community as a whole is the number one minority demographic in the country right now.
Brown is the new black.
And he went out of his way, and I had an argument on Facebook about this with a friend of mine that I had to educate. Her comment was, he said the Mexican government is sending rapists and thieves and stuff and drug deals up here. I said, that's not all he said, but even if he did, that is categorically wrong because the Mexican government isn't the Cuba government of the 1980s. They're not shipping people to the United States who are prisoners and people of ill repute, like Castro did. These people that have come across the border are from all walks of life, except rich and affluent. And to say that they're all this and they're all that and they do this and they aren't worth that, and then to finalize it with, I'm sure some of them are okay. You knock it, NBC's bottom dollar is the bottom dollar. And we've spoken about this a lot. This country has made it extremely comfortable for Spanish-speaking people, immigrants, to be the cheap labor force by double labeling, double signage, dual translated, everything, so that people of Hispanic descent can feel comfortable in this country. Origin, this is right. So NBC, they're in the entertainment business. Right, but the NBC is in the entertainment business, and they sell entertainment to America by advertising people's products. And those people's products get purchased by people who have purchasing power in this country.
I think NBC and Galavision and Univision, I think they work together. So that's like half their market right there.
Exactly. In 1977, Chico and the Man was the only third place on television. I take that back. Chico and the Man and Sanford and Son, both on NBC, were the only places you can see Hispanic Americans on television. Chico of Chico and the Man for the 1 year Freddie Prinze was on the show before he committed suicide.
And Sesame Street. Don't forget Sesame Street.
Yeah, but Sesame Street wasn't broadcast, wasn't network television, right? I mean, that was public TV, but it wasn't network television. So, but now in 2015. Fantasy Island actually started in the 70s, yes, but you didn't know. Well, yeah, I guess you could go with Ricardo Montalban, but he was Mr. Rourke. He didn't espouse his Hispanic heritage. You know, so he was. Everyone knew he was Hispanic, but it wasn't like Mr. Rourke's Fantasy Island is in Acapulco. You know, Fantasy Island existed somewhere in the somewhere sphere, and all kinds of magical stuff happened on Fantasy Island. So you could see them.
Don't forget about Ricky Ricardo. You got to give him his props.
Yes, but that was before that. So I'm saying, but in the 70s, you only saw two real Hispanic characters, and they weren't lead characters. Right. You had Jose Feliciano as a musician. You had Freddie Prinze, I said, as a comedian. You didn't have it wasn't everywhere, and now it's everywhere, and they're proud Hispanic people everywhere, and that's fine. But you can't piss off that population and then run for president and expect that it's not going to have some backlash. You can't say that on NBC and expect to keep your show, even though he would have had to give up the show anyway if he's going to run for president. But now he has no fallback because it's out there now. The reality of who he is out there.
Look, don't let Obama get immigration reform, some good immigration reform pass through. Night, night, Gracie. Republicans won't stand a chance. Hillary will be an empress.
And they shouldn't, because what they're doing, how they are right now, is not what this country should be about. You shouldn't be able to run for president of this country or any leadership role in this country if you are talking about dividing the population and preaching hate. You know, he downgraded China, and all of his products, everything that has Trump labeled on it, is made in China. I mean, the hypocrisy is out of control. And I've got people telling me, like a young lady I worked with 4 years ago, who said to me that Donald Trump must know what he's talking about because he's rich. There's a lot of dumb rich people. And there's obviously a lot of rich people.
And you know what? He's an idiot. Because first of all, he got his money from his daddy, first of all.
Right.
So, you know, it's money to make money. If he was Donald Trump, my next-door neighbor, then I might say, well, you know, he was smart enough to at least, you know, do well in business. But by the time he was doing well in business, he had a company that was making decisions on his behalf. Shut it down.
Right. And don't think that being rich makes you smart. It might make you good at business, but you can be dumb as a box of rocks.
And
I mean, I know it's a movie. I know it's a movie, but Forrest Gump, Bubba Gump Shrimp was a multi-million dollar corporation in the movie.
But I mean,
Gump wasn't running.
Let's be clear. How many people really knew Donald Trump before The Apprentice? Those of us who were old enough in the 80s knew of him and you know, have, you know, him being a slumlord and the first Trump Tower, and I think he filed for bankruptcy once or twice in the 80s. So he had name recognition for those of us that are old enough to know. But, you know, the generation behind us, they don't know who the hell Donald Trump was outside of The Apprentice. So he wants to be all blustery. As far as I'm concerned, NBC made him.
Yeah, well, you know what? My exposure to Donald Trump, my first knowledge of Donald Trump was when there was the attempt to start another football league opposite the NFL, the USFL, and they played in the spring. And you had the New Jersey Generals and the Philadelphia Stars and the Houston Gamblers and teams like that. And they started their league, and they played spring football, and football nuts like me were happy as a pig in slop because I could have football year-round. And then the person who owned the New Jersey Generals sold his team to Donald Trump. And that was my first experience with Donald Trump, my first exposure to Donald Trump. And they sold the team to Donald Trump, and he immediately convinced the other owners that they should go head-to-head with the NFL in the fall and sue to say that the NFL was a monopoly. And they lost. And when they lost, it was all on Donald Trump. He's not the success everyone makes him out to
be. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
This is my jam. What you know about
this? This is the new outro, baby, because gay marriage is allowed in the country. Obamacare's passed. Crystal Palin's knocked up. And I know on the day that it came through that Obamacare was declared constitutional, Barry grabbed Michelle and said, I was dreaming when I wrote it. Forgive me if it goes astray.
Forgive me if it goes astray.
Hey! This should be... This should be the theme for that happening. Purple. People. We're going to do this again in 7 days or so. But until then, I'm happy 4th of July. What'd you say? What'd you say? Oh. Thank you.